Well, when my father asked me to teach today, I didn't know what to do as soon as he called me. But then he asked me to teach on faith, and I believe that's one of my spiritual gifts. And so I feel like it's easy for me to talk about it. But I'm mostly just going to be encouraging you guys in what we already know about faith. Faith is something that we all have, and faith is something that we all know the parameters of it. We all know how to deal with faith. We all, because we have it, and because we believe in God, and because we believe in the unseen, we understand what faith is. But I'm just going to really just talk more about it, give you a little bit about it. I'm only going to speak for a little bit, and then Jason wants to come up after me so he can steal my thunder. But if you go into the dictionary about faith, there's three definitions. We're going to be talking about all three today, and but we're going to focus on two of them because two of them really talk about what Christianity is. The first definition is faith is the confidence or trust in a person or thing. The second one is faith is a belief that is not based on proof. And the third is faith is a belief in God or in the doctrines or teachings of a religion. And we're going to be mostly talking about one and three. One, because in Christianity, they're practically the same thing, right? The definition on one is confidence or trust in a person, right? And three is belief in God. Are, in our religion, the right religion, the really only religion that we can call one, is a has our trust and our faith in the same person and God. Because our religion's person and God is one. Some other ones, you have Muhammad, and he's supposed to be a prophet for Allah, their God. You have other ones, and you trust or you learn the teachings of someone that got it from someone else that actually is their higher deity. In Christianity, the person and God that we both trust in is one. And so, definition one and three, they're the same for us. If you could turn to Matthew 14, we're going to be talking about the first definition mostly, but this, like I said, one and three go together. In Matthew 14, 22 through 33, this is Jesus walking in the water. We all know this story. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. And immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come out to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw that the wind was boisterous and he was afraid and began to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And so when we see here, definition one, let's go back to the definitions, right? Definition one, confidence or trust in a person. Peter had enough trust and confidence in God in Jesus if we just go with his humanity. He had enough trust in this person that he believes whatever he says I can do, I can do it. So Jesus is so far away that they think this thing's a ghost. They can't see his face. And they're tossing and turning in the boat. They're screaming across the water. And Peter says, if you tell me to come, I'll come. Jesus says, come on. And he starts walking out in the water. This is faith that we don't see much of. This is the type of faith that Jesus mentioned in another part of Matthew that can move mountains. This is the type of faith that we don't have today a lot, because back then they were going off of signs and wonders, right? We go off of what we can't see, and Jesus said we're more blessed than those, because they were right there with him. And we believe in the things that we can't see. We've never seen Christ. But this is a faith that is leaps and bounds above most people. And Peter had this faith for a little time. But if any one of you guys would start walking on the water in the same aspect, and you get up close enough to Jesus, mind you, he's so far away that they think he's a ghost. They can't even tell who he is. So he was walking fairly far, okay? He walked close enough to Jesus that when he started getting scared, he saw what was happening, he saw the surroundings, and in his mind, he started realizing that this isn't right. I can't really do this. This isn't natural for me to do this. And if you kind of go back on what we would think, you can't do that. You just can't walk on water. It's not natural for us. Physics don't allow you, gravity, all that stuff, right? Faith goes leaps and bounds above the nature. It's a supernatural thing that we get from the Holy Spirit, the power that we get from the Holy Spirit, issued by the Son, given by the Father, right? We have this power that is not natural. It's not a natural power. And so Peter has this faith, and he goes out to see Christ walking on the water, gets afraid, starts sinking, close enough that Jesus can grab his hands when he asks for his help, okay? And Jesus still says, you of little faith. That tells me that even though you can walk on water, and even though you can move mountains, it's still not that much faith compared to Christ. Going back to what I mentioned before, when I said this is the type of faith that can move mountains, he said that the type of faith that can move mountains is as small as a mustard seed. And when I was doing Sunday school a couple months ago, I brought in a mustard seed, and you could fit, you know, a good 5 to 10 of them in your finger, let alone just one. And one size of a mustard seed is what can move a mountain. And that's not that big. And so this is the type of faith that Christ is telling Peter, listen, you have faith. There's no doubting that, because most people would not, almost 99% of the people in the Bible, right? They're not going to do this. And they're not going to trust me enough to do this. The rest of the disciples heard what was going on. They saw what was going on. They might have even believed Jesus when he says it's him. But Peter had enough faith to say, I don't care about what's going on. I trust in this man. I trust in this Messiah, our God. And then after they get in the boat, actually, in 33, it says, then those who were in the boat after he calmed down the sea and the winds obey him and everything. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. And so, let's just say hypothetically that they didn't think he was God beforehand. At this point, they say, you're God now. Okay, you control things that are unnatural. The man that you are, first, allow us to have this power to walk on water. And second of all, the winds and the storms, they obey your beck and command. You're truly God, okay? So if they're seeing he's God at this point, and let's say Peter didn't think he was God beforehand, then he has so much trust in this just plain good man, this prophet, right, that he believes, I can do this. This is the type of faith that we all need to have. This is the type of faith that, you know, I keep on saying leaps and bounds. Like, you know, last time I mentioned faith in a teaching, I think I was talking about, like, superheroes and stuff. And, you know, Michael's wearing a Superman jersey right now. It's that type of stuff. That type of, as my dad would say, Iron Man stuff, right? The stuff that doesn't push you over very easily. The stuff that you can take and, you know, that was nothing. That's just one of the things that the world gives me. But where do we get this trust? Where do we get this faith? We get it from the Holy Spirit, but it's through Christ. We have trust in this man, right? This man who is God. Let's go to definition 3. Belief in God. Like I said, trust in man, belief in God. In our religion, Christianity, that's the same thing. That's Jesus Christ. Go to Matthew 2, Matthew 6, 25. And I really like this, this passage. It's growing to be one of my favorites. 25-34. It's already titled, and this is one of the things, like I said, you don't stop. Whenever Peter was falling, right, Jesus said, why did you worry, O you of little faith? And the title, you know how the Bible's title sections, the title of this is, Do Not Worry. And so, we're supposed to have trust in a man, trust in this God, without worrying. Don't worry about the surroundings. Don't worry about what nature has to hold for you. Forget all that. You know, focus on the sun. When Peter wasn't focusing on Christ, that's when he started worrying. When we don't focus on Jesus as our life support, literally in that aspect, then we start worrying, what are we going to do, right? This is a passage like that. 25, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, not about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I love this because I don't know how many times Christ needs to say not to worry about something. And we as believers, we as just plain human beings, even if we're not a believer, we worry about so, so many things. And in America, we have the fashionistas, right? The divas and the people, what are those people called? The metrosexual men. who they worry so much about their clothing, what they look like, how they can, and I do it too. I mean, you know, I have the earrings, I have the jewelry to make it look like I like how I look by what I buy. What, you know, I was just in Walmart the other day looking at the jewelry, and I'm like, man, I really like that. And it's just, why do we worry about these things? He's talking about the birds of the field and the lily of the valleys, how they can't worry, right? They don't have that, they don't have that thing in their back of their mind that talk about, that think in the future, right? The birds are the closest thing to that, where they store up at times, but that's squirrels. Birds don't do that. The birds eat for the day, and they keep on going. They just eat for the day. They feed their young, and they feed themselves for the day at hand. And what God is saying here is, they don't worry, and they don't store up. We have things to store up. We have houses. You know, we have storage bins. We have cupboards, closets, whatever. And they don't worry, and God provides for them. And you're so much more valuable than some sparrows. Why do you worry? What is worrying going to do? He mentions in this passage, when has worrying ever done anything for you? He said, where has it added a cubit to your stature? So in other words, how's it helping you at all? All it does is hurt. Worrying never does anything good other than make you worry about more things. When you start worrying about what the day has to hold, and you worry that you're not going to be able to fit all the things in the day that you want to get done, then you start worrying about how you can fit the things that you wanted to fit in this day into the next day, and then you worry, oh, but I was planning on doing that, so now I got to worry about that. And it's a constant cycle of just not focusing on Christ, right? Going back to Peter, he trusted in the God. He trusted in the God-man the whole time. This is a storm. I've never been on water when there's storms, but I've seen them, and when you're walking, the water's probably like hills and valleys and mountains. And he's walking on that, and he's not caring about what's ahead of him. He's not caring about the rushing wind, the rain that's splashing in his face, you know, how his feet are wet. He's not worried about these things because he's focusing on the one center thing we should be focused on in life. And that's how he got through. And we don't even worry about drowning. We don't worry about a storm, right? We worry about what we're going to wear, what we're going to eat, you know? We're America, and, you know, majority of Americans, I think they say 60 to 65 Americans are overweight. If you're overweight, that means there's a good amount of food out there. We don't need to worry about it. There's always going to be a McDonald's. There's always going to be a dollar menu, Matt's favorite. There's always going to be something there that we can eat. You know, why do we worry about the food? Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Follow His guidance. There's no other plainer way, blunter way to say it. I mean, in that whole passage, 25 through 34, let's just skim it real quick. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, almost 5 to 6 times that he says, do not worry. Do not worry. He's not telling you, why do you do this or why do you do that and try to go around it. You know, he's blunt. He's to the point. Don't worry. So this is a command. It's a command. Don't be anxious. It would be something that we would talk about a lot today. I'm anxious, or you know, I have anxiety. Well, if you're focused on Christ, then there's nothing to be anxious about other than His coming. But no one knows that. So, you know, if you're focused on Christ, then all the things that are around you just die out. You're not even caring about those things. Those things are, they're worthless. They're nothing to be focused on because they're the world, right? They're what we see. They're the visible. And if you go to Hebrews 11, let's go to Hebrews 11:1. This is what they call the faith canon. I'm not going to be talking about the people in Hebrews 11:1. I'm just going to be talking about the first two verses. Hebrews 11:1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." The things that we see today, right? Everything we see, whether they be crayons in front of me, whether it be this book, whether it be the clothes that we worry about, the food that we worry about, the building that we worry about paying, you know, the weather, whatever it may be, our cars, our pets, our family. Those are things that we see. We understand that God made this out of the unseen. We understand that this was not, you know, someone had to have something else to make this, like we do, like plastic or certain metals or certain you know, elements or chemicals and stuff. We're nothing close to God, and we understand this through faith. It says right here, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. We understand that by faith. And so, yes, you have faith. You have faith that, you know, Jesus said, what Jesus said will come true. But do you worry about it? Whenever he says, "I will provide all your needs," do you still worry about that? Whenever he says, "I will not put you against anything you can't stand," do you still worry that you can't stand it? Whenever he tells you something, are you doing the definition of faith one? Do you have confidence and trust in this person? If you don't, then you really do need to refocus what you're thinking. Become, you know, be away from the rest of the disciples and become the Peter for that split second and focus on what he said. He told me I can do this, so I can do it. Forget about what else is out there. He said I could do it, I can do it. Right? And Hebrews, this is the only thing that would kind of go with our definition too. Belief that is not based on proof, right? Well, I don't really believe that because the Bible is our proof. But if you want something that's tangible and not something that is, you know, that you read out of a scriptural book or a doctrinal book, this says that faith is the evidence of things unseen. So your faith in this person and God is the proof that he exists. Because he gave you that. The power of the Holy Spirit that each one of us that believe in him have, that's the proof that he's there. Faith is, whenever I thought that I might have the gift of faith, you know, I started looking into it and I started, you know, learning how to use it more, how to be useful for the body with it. And I kept on thinking that faith is a circular reasoning a lot of times. Because when you have, this says, faith is the evidence of things unseen, right? So, your proof, what's your proof in God, or in Jesus, that Jesus is God? What's your proof? Well, I have faith. That's my evidence. That's my proof. Okay, well, where did you get that faith? Well, from the unseen God. Well, didn't you just say that your faith is on the unseen God, so how's your unseen God give you that faith? It's just, it's a constant thing, but that's the mystery of the cross. That's the mystery of what most of our spiritual gifts are, right? We get them to serve the body. We get them to know about Christ more. And when we do that, we see that we're getting it from Christ replenished. And so we get it from Christ to help the body, and that replenishes us again. Most of our spiritual gifts are constant giving. Well, I was just talking to Jill the other day about the right type of giving, right? And she was saying, well, what type of giving, you know, is the perfect way to do it? And I said, well, the Bible says, if you give with a good heart, then He will replenish that, right? If you give, I'm supposed to give, so here you go, then that's not really working in the righteousness that God wants us to. But if you replenish, if you give in the way that God wants you to, with a joyful spirit, then God will replenish your giving. And so you won't lack. And why won't you lack? Because you have faith, right? Faith is the evidence of what we don't see. Faith is the power behind all these other gifts that we have in the body of Christ. Without faith, we can't understand these things. Without faith, we can't understand that we even got them from the Holy Spirit. We wouldn't even know what a Holy Spirit is unless we had faith in the God that provides it from us to us. But why I love talking about it is because the world is full of things that distract you. The world is full of things that not only distract you, but try to distract you away from what just plain religion is. You know, people say, well, if someone is stressed, they say, well, you know, what are the things you're stressed over? And you mention them, and, you know, some people might say, well, why don't you take a break from those things? But if church is one of those things, if being with the body of Christ is one of those things, if brethren are one of those things that, you know, might irk you or might give you stress or you might worry over, that's not what you should just take a respite from. You know, those are the things that replenish what you are in the body of Christ. And so, to me, faith is very important, mostly because if you have little of it, so little that is barely even seen, then you're not acting in the way that God wants us to act. But if you have faith like a mustard seed, you could do things that people can awe after. I mean, when people say Jesus walked on water, a lot of people don't also answer, Peter did too. You know? And Peter did it a good amount. And quite frankly, if you think about this, he was so far out, right? He walked so far out that when he was about to sink, all Jesus had to do was lift down his hand. Jesus didn't carry him like a baby back. He walked back with him too. Because he's in the center of Christ. There's nothing else better. I could care less about the darkness and the dangers around me. Christ is right here with me. I'm walking back to the boat too. The man has little faith. Jesus said, you have little faith. But can we all say in this room that we have enough faith to not even care not even care that there's storms are brewing and, you know, there's something out there, I don't know what it is. Do we have that type of faith? I know I don't, and I believe I have the gift of faith. And so, go to just two more passages. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understandings. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. What path was Peter on? He was on a water trail, right? And if he was thinking about this, trust in the Lord with all your heart, he was doing that until he got out to Christ. And lean not on your own understanding. He was doing that up until the second that he started leaning on his own understanding in that this isn't right. I shouldn't be walking on wet. You know? This isn't good. There's gotta be something underneath me and I'm gonna fall. I'm gonna drown. What am I doing? That's leaning on your own understandings. Your own understandings are your conscience about the natural, right? If you lean on that, then you are worried about your clothes. Then you are worried about tomorrow. Then you are worried about where you're going to eat. You are going to worry about, you know, your kids' health, your health, you know, whatever your money situations, you know, jobs, anything. You're going to worry about the things because that's your own understanding. Your own understanding is the flesh. Do not lean on the flesh. Do not lean on the flesh. Lean on Him. Trust in Him, right? That's our definition for faith. Trust in a person. Belief in God. That's our God. That's our person that we trust in. And trust in the Lord with all your heart. He didn't go half baked into that. He didn't go, you know, I'm not sure about this, but I'll step out in the boat anyhow. If you have any qualms about it, if you have any, speculation this might not work, that's not faith. Faith is total trust in something. You have total trust, most of you guys do, have total trust in your car whenever you're driving. You trust, and quite frankly, this, if you think about it this way, you have trust in other people that they're not going to hit you by a painted line in between. A yellow painted line is going to stop this maniac who I have no idea who he is to not hit me, but I don't have trust in my God who I supposedly worship. That doesn't even make any sense, right? I don't even know who you are. You could be a serial killer. But I trust you'll stay on the other side of the painted line and not hit me. And God, who says, I will give you everything that you need. I will supply all your needs. You trust on me. You lean on me. You know, I have proven it to you tons of times. I have made your life beautiful. You know, I've made the things of your life just, you know, like adored like the daisies. He's telling you that I feed them, I clothe them. But why do we trust in man so much more than we trust in our God? Last verse, Luke 12:21-23. So he who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God. I'm sorry, no, 22. And he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry. This is a command. He's commanding them. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouses nor barns, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit in stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? To me, that's like, wow, yeah, that smacks me in the face of like, listen, if you can't do something small, then what makes me think you can do the rest? If you can't trust that God's just going to provide your needs, and you don't need to worry about these things in life, you don't need to worry about the finances. When bill collectors and everybody's breathing down your neck, you don't need to worry. God will provide. Patience is another connected to faith. He never said, I'll provide it when you want it. He said, I'll provide it when you need it. And a lot of times the need comes to glorify Him more. But if you can't trust in Him for this, why would other people think that you have the faith of a mustard seed? Why would other people come up to you and say, you know, I really need this action and faith from you, or you encourage me in faith in this way? There wouldn't be anything for anybody to look at you and say, you know, I really see that you're faithful in the Lord. And the things that you do, you know, I can tell you trust in the Lord. If you can't trust in what He said I will do, then what's to make anybody think that they look at you and say, that's a strong person in faith. That's a strong man or woman in the body of Christ. You know, you have to do something. You have to do these little steps before you can build up, right? Trinity's trying to ride her bike and she'll never get on it, and so she'll never learn. Because she doesn't want to do with the little steps, right? She doesn't want to learn to fall first. You have to learn. And, you know, so I'm not saying, Joel, go out and walk on water right now, and Lauren, I expect you to move a mountain right after that. What I'm saying is that if we constantly trust in the Lord, and we don't worry about what He has for us, you know, what's to come. If we don't worry about the money, the clothes, the food, the car, the expenses, the health situations, you know, roof over our head. If we don't worry about those things, then it'll be very, very easy when God expects us to do something faith worthy. I got that. It's very easy. I've learned how to grow in faith. You've helped me grow through faith because I've trusted in you, right? We can do everything that God allows us to do through faith, move mountains, if we focus on Christ and Christ alone. So, it's my encouragement for you. Thanks.